Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. It is 5:33 p.m.
Okay, I'll call this meeting to order and we'll start with roll call. Angela Kowalczyk-Adrians.
Here.
Danielle Piarki.
She's excused.
Mike Borowski.
Not present. Current.
Dan Fox.
Here.
Heather Gentry Nimmer.
Not present.
Rob Atwood.
Here.
And Dina Mooney here. Okay, we have quorum because we have at least four, so that's good. So thank you for everybody that's here. I'll accept a motion to adopt the agenda if there's no modifications.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, so we'll move on with our agenda. Next is approval of the December 16th, 2020 minutes. I'll take a motion or if there's any changes.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, so the minutes are approved. Public appearances. It doesn't look like we have any here.
I did not receive any emails either.
Okay. Item five, information. A, Green Isle Park Road reconstruction update.
Just wanted to give the committee an update, on where we're sitting with the Green Isle Road reconstruction project. As you recall, last year we reconstructed the parking lots at Green Isle Park under our 2019 bonding. This year we will be reconstructing the roadway portion of the park, and that will go from the north entrance where the trail crosses right by the baseball diamond, from that location around to about the softball diamond parking lot on the south side of the park, as well as the driveway that goes up to the pavilion. There's a short little spot over by the south entrance where we're also going to reconstruct. The asphalt's fallen apart right there by East River Drive. So we'll be doing that project this coming year. We opened bids last week on that. They came in great. Our engineering estimate for that, or I'm sorry, our bids came in. Our low bid was Vinton Construction. At $228,319.80, that's about $54,000 cheaper than what our engineering estimates came in as. So across the board with all of our construction projects like this, you know, Public Works and talking with our consultant, other communities, their bids are coming in very good this year. So happy to hear that. We do plan to begin construction on that project late summer, early fall. We want to latter part of the year when it's driest down there, obviously, but also to try to avoid any conflicts with anything we have going on during the summer. Hopefully this year will be a little bit more back to normal, but also, you know, get quite a bit of use during the summer. So we'll do that project. Very similar to what we did last year, you know, latter part of the summer, early fall, to be completed prior to November. So.
Any questions? All right, item B, comprehensive outdoor rec plan update.
Just to touch on our corp update, we will be releasing that RFP here this next month on March 15th. So we're going to get the ball rolling with that. Our timeline for the project, the submittals will then be due April 15th, so a month later. And then I will send out that information to the committee so that we can go through an evaluation and selection at that April committee meeting, which would be the 27th. We'll have village board approval then at the following meeting, which is May 4th, with notice to proceed for the consultant on May 5th. Then we're looking for completion of that project by early September. I think that's just prior to Labor Day. Any questions at all about that?
Questions? Okay. We'll go on to item C, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program reauthorization.
Yeah. This is just a quick item I wanted to bring to your attention. Actually, Danielle had mentioned it to me. This is something that's in the governor's budget that he proposed just recently. It is the reauthorization of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. That program was started back in 1989 by Governor Thompson to preserve valuable natural resources areas, wildlife habitat, protect water quality and fisheries, and expand outdoor recreation opportunities. Most of the annual stewardship spending from this program takes the form of grants to local governments and nonprofits. Stewardship grants fund local park infrastructures, boat ramp facilities, recreation trails, and land purchases for parks and nature preserves statewide. So, you know, how this affects us is we've utilized this program over the years for acquisition of properties. The village had purchased some properties along the East River Parkway utilizing this grant programs, as well as Wheezy Park. We also utilized some of the funding through the program for the reconstruction of the Resch Family East River Trail. So we have, the village has directly benefited from this program. And we, like I said, the governor has placed the reauthorization. The current term has expired, so they're looking to reauthorize this for another 10 years at $70 million per year with $700 million in bonding opportunities. And then $18 million for local units of government for grant purposes. Again, for things such as outdoor recreational opportunities or land purchases or things like that. So I'll be reaching out to our local representatives, Representative Steffen and Senator Coles, ask for their support in this, you know, and explain to them how important that is for our local governments, especially our community, you know, to help provide us with funding mechanisms for those purposes, especially now that it becomes a challenge being able to fund a lot of our park infrastructure or different things that we want to see done in our parks and our community. So just wanted to touch on that and kind of give the committee a little overview of that, and that we're looking to support that.
Okay. Item six, discussion pickleball court usage and program.
Mike's not here. Mike had sent me an email after our last meeting just saying that he wanted to discuss use of the pickleball facilities and involvement of the Packerland pickleball player group in Alloway programs. Not exactly sure what he wanted to discuss with that, but I did invite Matt to join us tonight because he has been doing some work with not only the Packerland pickleball players, some individuals there, but our programming, what we're looking to potentially do. So I kind of wanted Matt to give an overview of what he's been working on and some of the individuals he's been working with.
So we're working with a couple individuals from Packerland Pickleball. Mary Pulak, who I believe is one of the Packerland Pickleball ambassadors, she is going to be teaching some youth pickleball classes in the summer. And then Bob, spacing on his last name, Bob Fry, there you go. They are going to be doing some adult classes also in the summer. Still working with them on setting up exactly how that's going to go. They're both down in Florida, I believe, right now. So it's kind of been through email. But they are going to be donating some pickleball paddles for us to utilize at classes. So we don't have any costs there. They're willing to donate their time, so there's no cost there either. They just want to see the sport grow, I guess, through youth and adult usage. So that should be coming out probably middle to end of March. I'd like to try to hold off on releasing new programming until we finish off some of the current programming that we have, and I don't want to release it too early so it just sits without being registered for and things like that. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We're just working with them on some ideas that they've had as far as signage and things like that, but we'll just kind of continue to work with them as we can, but we're really thankful to them on the donations of equipment and their time to run those programs.
Yeah, and as you recall, we came up with some signage that we installed down there to help make sure that everyone that wants to play is able to play on the courts. They have been a very popular location since we opened them late last summer. It seems like a great addition to our parks, and hope to continue to see that into the future as well. Any questions or comments from anyone?
Okay. Item 7, discussion, East River Trail flooding update.
Yes, and Angela, feel free to jump in as you were involved with some of this as well. But just wanted to give the committee kind of an update on some of the things that have been going on with the East River flooding and more or less the East River Resiliency Collaborative that we've been involved with. There was a meeting held on February 17th. It was a collaborative forum, the first of many. That was held, and we had, I believe it was over 70 participants, Angela, if I'm correct, that were part of that forum, which kind of gave an overview of where the entire watershed sits with how to deal with issues with flooding and, kind of the long-term goals and potential solutions into the future. A few major takeaways that I took away from that, we talked about the history and stories from across the watershed of what some communities are doing. Village of Alloway was part of that on how we have done great things with regards to our stormwater, very well known for, the stormwater ponds that we have here in the village and how we maintain those. Also, some hydrological flood modeling that is being done through UW-Madison. How they have gone through majority of the watershed and taken a lot of data and created modeling that will show what potential floods in different situations will do and look like, you know, throughout the communities. And as well as, you know, causes of flooding. You know, as we know, high lake levels are a major cause, as well as a higher precipitation. But, you know, wind direction, when you get those winds out of the northeast right down the bay, pushes that water back. And tides, this was something I guess I didn't realize, but they had stated that Green Bay, on the Great Lakes, Green Bay has the highest tide of any location of 1 foot. I was not aware that we had tides here, but that, depending on timing, you know, that could cause some issues with regards to the high water levels, and, you know, when you throw things together and they all kind of build on one another. So, Angela, anything that you'd want to add from when we talked during that meeting?
Well, I thought you took some really great notes, and yeah, the participation was great. There was, you know, a lot of people really engaged. I think a lot of people really were, you know, honing in on this idea of ways to manage both flooding, but also get benefits of water quality and, you know, collaboration of it all. So I think it was really positive. I think the tides thing was interesting too. I mean, I guess I didn't realize that. I definitely didn't know we were, you know, had the highest, you know, tides of the Great Lakes. But I guess anecdotally, for any of you who use the East River Trail, that, you know, where LOA crosses East River Trail, if you go in the morning and try to go under that bridge, you can't, but you can, you know, in the afternoon, or maybe it's vice versa, but there's times when you can and can't go under it. Lately, last, you know, year or so, you never can. But normally, there's different times of the day when the water would be up high enough, you wouldn't really use that warm way under the bridge.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to try to share my screen, see if this works, because I've got a couple of PDFs I kind of wanted to show to go along with a couple more points I wanted to make. Let's see here. Can everyone see that? That's the meeting that we had, the East River Resiliency Collaborative Forum. But another point I wanted to make was that this isn't anything new. Brad Lang shared this with me. You know, with the high water and the flooding of the East River, has been discussed many times and plans have been prepared. Here's a plan that the Brown County Planning Commission did back in 1967 that talked about the same things we're talking about today, about flooding and you know, how to deal with it within the communities. Here's a perfect example of a map that they created in this plan that looks very familiar to what we've seen in the last few years. So, you know, these things have been talked about. It seems now there's a lot more communication, a lot more collaboration that will come up with some solutions, I hope, that will help not eliminate, but alleviate and try to find ways to deal with flooding issues as they come. So, like I said, the village has done a great job over the time. One thing they talked about in this plan at this time was to try to set aside the properties in the flood zones along the East River so that they could be saved and not developed and utilized as you know, floodways like they're supposed to be, areas of to hold the water when you have flooding, as well as locations for stormwater buffers. So you don't have that water running directly from development into the river. Like I said, the village has done a great job over the since this time, and has, you know, purchased a lot of the greenways and parks along the East River. So as you see here in this example, it shows how much of the properties along the river, you know, are village owned and utilized as, you know, not only recreational opportunities, but as well as those flood holding and stormwater buffers. Next part here is a map that you have seen before that I've showed. This is the location of where we have high water spots along our East River Trail. You know, there's several locations, and depending on height of water, some flood easier than others. But, you know, we do have several locations along the trail. We will be meeting with, or I should say, the City of Green Bay Parks is scheduling a follow-up meeting with the neighboring communities. If you recall, we've met with several of the communities back several months ago. They are scheduling a meeting here in mid-March that we're going to continue to talk about collaboration and local efforts on what we can do, potential options with the trail itself, and how to come up with some solutions for these. The next slide I have here are just a few highlights. I'm going to zoom in on a couple of things here of some different options that we could look at, that at least to begin with, whether that would be the green line here and the yellow one up here would represent just alternative routing, you know, that would, we could, you know, have maps done, put some signage up, and give people opportunity to, you know, if we do have sections of the trail that are flooded, at least in the interim, before we can come up with some more semi-permanent solutions, at least direct them for alternative routing. The location down here, kind of between 2.9 and 3.2, you see the orange line. Something like this would be along the lines of, you know, boardwalking or bridging. You know, this is all areas which are typically, you know, are floodways, wetland areas that would require, you know, some type of boardwalk. There's an expense to things like that. Again, here, yellow line could be a potential alternative routing to get around some flood spots, especially under the Hoffman Road Bridge. That's a location that would be difficult to build up the trail because of the height of the bridge, you know, and making sure you have headroom underneath there. So, again, you know, as you go farther south, more alternative routing to take people around. Or if you look here between 3.8 and 4.0, there's actually a cow path, as we call it, where people have already started a trail through the woods, and we could expand on that potentially and make that more of a semi-permanent, you know, maybe adding some gravel to it or something like that, that would allow individuals to get around, you know, some of the flooded areas. Or again, some more bridging or boardwalk. So these are some things that we'll continue to talk about, and methods to, you know, work with our other communities and come up with ideas and brainstorm and see what others are doing. I know that the City of Green Bay did some engineered estimates on potential solutions. Now I can't find my notes, but you know, they're looking at well over, for all of their park areas where they had high water along the East River Trail, they were looking at over $1 million to come up with some solutions. So you know, it's not just necessarily raising the trail. There's a lot that goes into any work you do within the flood zones and floodways and wetlands, you know, with permitting and different things like that. So, any questions, any thoughts, open discussion, any new ideas or anything.
I love the fact that we're talking about solutions now instead of just talking about the problem. So.
Yeah, and I think the, like I said, you know, it's not a new problem. It's been around for, you know, decades. But I think people are starting to realize, hey, let's stop talking about it. Let's come up with some solutions, some long-term solutions of not just necessarily for our East River Trail, but, you know, the entire location on how flooding affects, you know, not only our parkland areas, but our infrastructure and possible development areas. So. Yeah, after we have this meeting, this next meeting with City of Green Bay and some of the other local communities, I hope to, you know, pick everyone's brain and see what their thoughts are and what some of their solutions or ideas that they're coming up with, you know, to help, help, you know, allow people to utilize the trail more.
Has DePere or Ledgeview had any further conversations about the impact it has on them? I know before it was, they were kind of going, hey, we don't have any issue.
Right. DePere has, the reason that they kind of did that was because they've got such a short stretch of the trail itself, you know, in the city of DePere. And I don't know how long it is, but it's not very long, and then all of a sudden it jumps into Ledgeview. Ledgeview's got more of an interest. I think when they were talking about their lack of, if you want to say, it was more from a, you know, political standpoint or a, yeah, it really doesn't seem to affect us too bad at this point, so why do we really care type of thing. But I think, you know, they're getting more and more involved in these other meetings and you know, the collaboration and that. So they are seeing a need and, you know, and a want to get involved with that, so. And beyond, you know, and it's not just, you know, the lower end here. You know, we're talking with people that are farther up, you know, as you get into Rockland, as you get, you know, farther towards, you know, the headwaters and things like that, and how the agricultural lands may be affecting, you know, different things. So.
Good, because I was just out in that area today once again. I'm not an expert in this field. I'm just looking at it from a common sense standpoint. You know, where it's this narrow, make it wider, make it deeper, you know, so it can absorb more before it gets down here. But like I said, what do I know?
Yeah, I'll agree with you, Rob. I'm not an expert either in those type of things. There's people that are far smarter and that's why we're doing these type of collaborations and, you know, working with the universities and whatnot. So
I reserve the second part of my opinion.
Well, good. Any
hey,
other
Matt, how's the entry going, or did you start registration yet for the Little Tykes program down at Green Isle for the summer? When does that kick off?
Yeah, we actually started last week Monday, and we are 98% full at this point.
No,
we have
to register yet.
We have six openings over the course of 2 weeks, and otherwise we have waiting lists.
Uh-oh.
Going quick.
Better mark Danny down now.
For two, I need two.
We next month's meeting, we'll come back and give the committee kind of an update on what our programming and is looking like and facility rentals and things like that, you know, on where we're sitting with COVID and how, you know, the outlook looks. So we'll bring that back at the next meeting.
So Matt, do I have to call you tomorrow to register?
I could get you over the phone. I can get you on the waiting list, but I wouldn't be able to register anything over the phone.
Okay. That's my fault.
I didn't think it would go this fast. Typically,
I didn't either.
Typically, we take a little bit to, you know, fill up, but this year it went awfully fast.
Darn. Okay.
No problem to have, I guess.
You know what that means, don't you, Matt?
What's that?
Do you know what that means when it fills up that fast?
Never doing it right?
Yeah, it means you're doing it right and people are talking, so keep it up. Nice job.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Okay, future agenda items. If there's anything you ever want to add, just let Chris know. Otherwise, if there's anything you want to share with Chris right now for next agenda. Okay. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Dan. Okay. Yeah. Rob moved and Rob moved to adjourn and Dan Fox seconded.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. All right, thank you.
We adjourn at 6:04.